Good morning, Santa Barbara. This is KCSB 91.9 in Santa Barbara, of course. And this is the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent, Poodle Radio. KCSB 91.9. In Santa Barbara, it's Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. My name is Colin Marshall. I am the host of this program, as usual. Thank you for joining me. The first track there, the first musical cut, wrangled by our music producer, Ali Cumming-Gore, who's also the Indies Associate Arts Editor, is Don't Kill the Light, by Kitten. They're playing Muddy Waters on Wednesday, August 18th. Now, we're going to have a cover story coming up in the paper very soon, written by our arts editor, Charles Donnellan. It's a format I would like to see more of in The Independent, actually. It's a history of the Center Stage Theater, which turns 20 very soon. And it's built out of the voices of individual people who have been involved in the theater's history in making Center Stage what it is. And it's just direct quotes from them arranged in such a way you just get the, you get kind of an oral history in a way, but it's written, so that still counts as an oral history. In any case, we're mirroring that a bit today on Poodle Radio, because we have some of the people here from Center Stage who have made it what it is. With us in the studio, we have three different voices here, and I think I will follow suit with the article and let the voices introduce themselves. So when I point through the glass here, let's have a little bit on who you are, a little bit on your involvement with Center Stage.
Hi, I'm Jordana Lawrence. I've been the house manager with Center Stage for about 12 years now. So quite a history there. I'm totally enjoying it.
I'm Terry Ball. I'm the executive director at Center Stage. I've been in that position for about 2.5 years, and I've been involved with Center Stage both as a producer and a consultant for about 10 years prior to that.
I'm Vicki Scott. I'm the president of the Center Stage Board of Directors. I'm also a lighting designer, so I was involved with Center Stage as a designer before I was on the board, but I've been on the board for 8 years.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you all for showing up this early hour this morning. I know it's not necessarily a theater's hours, I'll tell you that for sure.
But that is definitely true.
Right. And I can't stay up as late as theater sometimes opens, so we're okay. We're balanced out here. Now, I want to also, if someone's new to town or someone's passing through and they don't know what Center Stage is because of that, I'll throw this out to the entire group. How do you describe Center Stage and its mission here in Santa Barbara?
Center Stage is a black box theater, and its mission in Santa Barbara is to be as accessible to the local community as possible, to be a venue for the arts and the community. We have an incredibly wide-ranging program. We do not program a season. We are strictly a rental venue, which means everything that comes in rents. So we have an extremely eclectic offering, because one week we may have 10-year-olds dancing and appearing on stage for the first time. The next week we may have Lit Moon, which is a professional theater company, bringing in groups from Europe throughout the the European countries. The next week we might have Genesis West, you know, a professional theater company, and then kids theater. So we run the gamut from dance, music, film, theater, and we also run the gamut from community performers to, you know, professional actors and other performers.
And as well, I'll put this out there, within the context of Santa Barbara, I suppose it sounds, reading the article, it sounds like it was quite, it seemed like quite a rarity at the very beginning. What sort of sensibility do any of you think it has introduced to Santa Barbara, to get a broad overview here?
You know, I think what's incredibly rare about Center Stage, not just in Santa Barbara, but really anywhere, Center Stage came out of a collaboration between government, corporate, and the arts, and has actually been successful. And lots of times in lots of cities, you see those collaborations attempted, and either they can't ever get off the ground, or they get off the ground and only last a few years because then the competing interests, you know, battle each other out. But Center Stage was born because there was a mall that wanted space, there was the city that had the land, and there was an arts community that was saying, we need a space. And some very visionary people, led by the legendary Harriet Miller, said, you know, this is a rare opportunity, and let's make this happen. And, excuse me, they set a goal, and they planned out a structure that was very feasible. And so Center Stage now operates as a not-for-profit. I think in terms of the offerings that it has versus some of the other venues in town, because we are a smaller venue with only 130 seats, and therefore we are extremely affordable, we are able to host people who might be doing a little bit more cutting-edge work, new work, lots of really young producers who are working for the first time, because it takes less overall capital, you know, to rent Center Stage as opposed to the Libero or the Luke, where you need to generate a much larger audience in order to, you know, be feasible. So I think that allows us to cater to some more eclectic. You know, we have some cutting-edge theater that goes on in Center Stage that I don't think you'd see in any of the other venues.
Now, I'm going to widen this out to the other voices as well. Both of your impressions of the importance of Center Stage is.
It gives a safe environment, like Terry was saying, that it allows younger artists to come in and to be able to try things out, to expose themselves to theater, to see if they've got what it takes, because we're a great, again, safe venue to be able to bring it out to anybody in town or outside of Santa Barbara, because we've had people coming from Los Angeles to use our venue, and that's a great education for these kids and for adults too, who suddenly decide that they want to try out theater and do something different maybe in their senior years, because we've had seniors bring in groups and do things. So that adds a gamut from very young to the very old. And that's something that not every theater will take a chance on, and we do.
And one of the things we also do with our professional staff, with Terry and Brad Spaulding, who is our technical director, and Jordana and Adam Quinney, who is our general manager, box office manager, one of the missions of Center Stage is to be accessible to the community, and some members of the community, as Jordana was saying, don't have producing experience, don't have the experience of mounting a show. Our professional staff is very accessible and open to helping them through that process, educating them as to how to do theater and how to attract an audience, to be cost-effective, to be artistically and technically efficient and proficient. And so part of what we do, in addition to being the community space, is to be somewhat of a training ground and a mentoring, a place for mentorship to those young producers and performers.
I imagine you've had the whole range of experience from those who have a lot of it and have very specific ideas about what they want and those who don't quite know what type of ideas they should be working on having. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and yeah. you're absolutely correct. I mean, we absolutely have producers who, you know, John Blondell with Litmoon. John is extremely experienced. John plans a festival. You know, John's been doing this for 20 years and has a very clear mission and an idea of what he's going to do. Versus, you know, we'll have somebody call up and say they want to figure out how to put on a show, you know, and what can I do in the black box? And we have people that will come in and meet with our technical director and say, you know, I kind of have this vision for doing a dance piece, but help me know how to use the space. We have, in fact, last night at the theater, a family in Santa Barbara that rented the theater to do a family talent show.
A large family?
It's a very large family. I was surprised. They almost filled the 130 seats.
Wow.
But, you know, it as a completely different, it started last year because they'd lost their home in one of the fires. And they were looking to sort of have a celebration before one of the family members went off to school. And last night they came back again. And, you know, there was some singing, there was some dancing. And so that's a very, very different use of the space. But, you know, a great community use.
Well, and didn't we also have a wedding?
We've had a wedding in the space.
Wow. And this, I want to get an idea for people who don't know of what a black box theater is. It'll be very familiar to some, not to others. To some, it'll be an idea that's known from other cities, not this one. But this, we've talked about the kind of range that's there. What can a black box accommodate? Essentially, anything under a certain size?
Center Stage, in terms of being a black box, is, in essence, just a big room. And what that allows producers and audience to experience is the seating platforms and the stage configuration can be anything from the traditional proscenium where the audience is the fourth wall looking in to audience just scattered around anywhere that you want to put audience members. The seating is flexible. The ability to define the stage space is flexible, and that allows for creativity and experimentation and thinking basically beyond the fourth wall in terms of presenting the event. So when we say black box space, the bones of the theater, the bones of the facility are really just a big room painted black. But what that allows producers and performers and designers to do is to be completely artistic, completely creative, and allow the space allows for the flexibility of putting that stage space and putting the relationship of the audience and the performers in any configuration that they can dream up.
Yeah, you don't have in our space, like at the Libero, there's a, you know, a proscenium and a front drape, and scenery can fly in and out in a more traditional theater space. We can't do that, but we can do a lot of different things. And we also have really great lighting equipment and sound equipment. People sometimes also think black box and think, you know, three tin cans with flashlights in them. But our lighting and sound equipment, we've worked very hard to raise money. So we have really, really excellent lighting and sound equipment. And it just offers, you know, a great deal more intimacy and more flexibility. You know, there are some theater pieces, dance pieces, where the proximity and the closeness of the performer to the audience is really important. And so ours is a much more intimate space also, you know, in addition to being flexible than some of the other spaces in town.
We should mention as well, we might give the idea to some people not familiar with black boxes that they're all made the same way, but there is variety within that genre of theater. How much variety do you see in black boxes? You mentioned the good lighting equipment here at Center Stage, but what else defines it within the field of the black box theater?
I mean, one thing that I think is unique that I was having this conversation with someone the other day. A lot of the time when you have a black box theater, particularly a sort of a community black box theater like this, what you're talking about is a converted space where someone has found a church or a warehouse or something that they've converted to be a theater, which creates some problems usually. You know, this used to be a mortuary, or this used to be. Center Stage is unique in that it is a black box that was designed to be a black box. Now, it has some of its own challenges because it's in a mall. We have a unique dressing room situation where we share that, you know, with the mall. That's not terribly ideal. But in terms of the theatrical space itself, I think one of the things that makes it unique in town is that it's not a converted space. It was never intended to be something else. It was built and had theater people in the community involved in building it to be a theater. So the booth is where the booth should be. And the, you know, the grid that was put in was designed to hang lighting equipment. It wasn't designed for something else, and now we're using it. So I think that allows us to be, though a small, intimate, and affordable space, technically a very excellent theater space. And I think it puts us technically and professionally above a lot of black box spaces. I know we have a lot of people that come in to the space for the first time, you know, designers and stuff, who are very surprised by the quality of equipment that we have, the quality of professional staff that we have, to have had the same technical director for more than 10 years. So I think that's one of the uniquenesses it has, is that it really is what it was designed to be. One of the interesting comments that Charles made when he was interviewing me and talking about the article is that he was struck by the fact that Center Stage is what it set out to be. And as opposed to a lot of times with not-for-profits and other organizations, it's, well, here's what we are, and here's what we wish we were.
Oh, really?
You know, there's a big difference. Huh. And for Center Stage, though we certainly are always raising money and, you know, looking to be better, Center Stage is being what it set out to be. Hmm. We are fulfilling that goal. We are serving the place in the community, I think very strongly for what it was originally designed to be.
And very uniquely.
Yeah.
The other thing that I liked about it, too, is the flexibility, what you're talking about, not just the proscenium, but that anyone coming in can say, yes, I want to keep it the proscenium where the audience is facing. We can do theater in the round. We can do three quarters. Whatever can be in the imagination of the producer and the directors and everything, we can accomplish that. And that's something that's very unique, and you can't find that everywhere.
Yeah, we're actually working part of our anniversary celebration. We're doing a fundraising campaign to try to raise money to make ourselves even more flexible. Because though right now, with the seating configuration we have, we can achieve that, it is right now a little bit more expensive and time-consuming. As technology has moved along, the seating structures in the theater is an area where we're looking to invest and modernize ourselves even more so we can be even more flexible. So we are looking to with our anniversary celebration, raise $20,000 so we can replace our seating platforms so it's not quite as expensive for our renters to achieve their artistic visions.
If you've just tuned in, this is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. We are talking Center Stage Theater today for its 20th anniversary. There's going to be a cover story from Charles Donnellan very soon in the paper, and we're going to take a little bit of a break, just a small break, but we will be back very soon. I've got much more to ask about the origins of Center Stage, as well as the details of its 20th anniversary celebration, and more. Here's a cut from, well, organized by, I should say, Allie Cumingore, who is the Poodle Radio music producer. It's called Shoot Your Gun. It's from the 2022. They're playing Velvet Jones with Hot Hot Heat on Friday, August 20th. Stay tuned. More Poodle Radio on the way.
Oh, baby. The fund for Santa Barbara's fall grant cycle is open, and community groups are invited to apply for grants. Focusing on social change, the fund gives preference to projects that address the root causes of social, economic, and environmental problems. A grant writing workshop is scheduled for Wednesday, August 25th, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Goleta Valley Community Center, 5679 Hollister Avenue. The fall application deadline is August 31st. For more information, go to fundforsantabarbara.org or call 805-962-9164.
On Saturday, August 28th, Direct Action Santa Barbara will hold its 7th annual Great American Write-In. The Santa Barbara Pro-Choice Coalition is sponsoring a large-scale letter-writing event in support of access to reproductive health care. The event will also serve as an opportunity to get to know the supporting organizations of the coalition. Admission is free. Organizations interested in reserving a table for the event should call Brianna at 805-963-2445. Extension 147. The event will take place from 1 to 3 p.m. at Faulkner Gallery at the Santa Barbara Main Library. Attendees are invited to stand up for choice on State and Anapamu Streets from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Signs will be provided by the coalition.
With the recent rise in U.S. casualties in Afghanistan, and with July's record deaths of 66 troops, Veterans for Peace Santa Barbara has launched Rethink Afghanistan. They will display a field of crosses on the beach that will reflect the 1,215 American deaths during this 8.5-year conflict. Demonstrations will be held every Sunday in August at Stearns Wharf, and volunteers will be needed. Please contact Tom Urban for more information at 805-259-9205.
Take some time to think.
On Thursday, September 9th, the Santa Barbara New Music Series presents an evening with pianist and composer Motoko Honda and the Tim Fisher Quartet, featuring Michael Mull on alto saxophone, Emilio Terranova on acoustic bass, Cotlin Woodford on drums, and Tim Fisher on electric guitar. Before, between, and after the sets, I, Colin Marshall, will have my decks and be spinning the finest ambient, experimental, and sound art tracks. That's the classical jazz, avant-garde textures, and 21st century technology of Motoko Honda, the modern chamber jazz of the Tim Fisher Quartet, and yours truly, DJ Colin Marshall, at 8 p.m. on Thursday, September 9th at Muddy Waters, 508 East Haley Street in downtown Santa Barbara. For more information on the Santa Barbara New Music Series, visit Colter Fraser, ColterFraser.com.
Hey babe, what's in your eyes? I saw them flashing like airplane lights. You fill my cup, babe, that's for sure. I must come back for a little more. You got my heart, you got my soul. You got the silver and you got the gold. You got the diamonds from my mind.
It is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. It's also Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. This cut is a Rolling Stones cover from Crooked Still. It's You Got the Silver. They're playing Sings Like Hell at the Libero Theater on Saturday, August 21st. Now we're getting right back into the conversation to go along with an article, a cover story by Charles Donnellan, soon to come in the paper. It is a bit of an oral history of the Center Stage Theater, which is celebrating 20 years. We're going to pick right back up where we left off with the three of the people who have made Center Stage what it is today. Now, I mentioned before we took a break that I wanted to get into the origins, and I read in the article that you talked earlier in the show about how there was a partnership required, an unlikely partnership in many ways, but it doesn't seem like this was a super difficult introduction of this theater. It was more difficult to introduce them all around it, perhaps?
I think those who were there would say it was certainly successful, but I do think it was a long process, and I think it took about a year and a half. And I do think that it took a tremendous amount of prodding and perseverance. Again, like I say, Harriet Miller was a councilwoman at the time. This was before she'd become mayor. And for all of those of us who worked with Harriet and remember Harriet, once Harriet got an idea in her mind, there was not a lot stopping her. and so I think most of the people involved would not have necessarily said it was an easy birth. But in the end, I think all of the work came out very well. Even in the show that we're doing Saturday night, they talk about the kind of amusing collaboration and meetings between what the arts community had in mind and then what the mall had in mind for this space. You know, the mall, when the mall heard Black Box, they thought, okay, so we take a room and we paint it black and we give you a couple of stools and some folding chairs and we're good to go. You know, evidently there was even a meeting where somebody said, you know, we figure this will be a place where somebody will sit on a stool and read Mark Twain stories. And maybe in the afternoon you can have storytelling and people who are shopping can bring their kids and drop them off. And the Arts Committee had a little something different in mind.
Yes, indeed. It sounds like, and that line about Mark Twain stories made it into the article, and I was very happy about that because that's hilarious. But they essentially, it was a difference in scale. They thought, here's a room, do what you will with it. The arts community thought, well, we want an actual theater.
Yes.
And how did this resolve itself? It didn't resolve itself. How did it get resolved?
You know, I think it has resolved over time. I think one of the great things, and I think the reason that the collaboration in the end worked and why a lot of times collaborations do, is that everybody kept their eye on the final goal and not necessarily on winning, so to speak. You know, and so the people that were involved from the arts community side looked at the things they had to win. You know, we absolutely have to get funding for some lighting equipment, and kept their eye on the prize of, let's get the place open. And then over time, we will continue to improve the equipment. You know, when it first opened, it didn't have all the best equipment, and that's been an ongoing goal. But you know, a term that's been bandied about a lot in the last few years, I think everyone was able to not let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yes.
And it was a project that didn't fall apart when it appeared that maybe everybody wasn't going to get every single thing they wanted, which I think is says a great deal about, you know, something that brought together government and corporate and the arts, that you didn't end up with one party standing in the corner saying, no, if we don't get exactly what we want, this isn't going to happen. But you had, you know, three different groups that we might each have some slightly different goals and some slightly different vision. But overall, we have a vision that we're going to do something for the community and we're going to get there. And I think that's why. And, you know, and then it has taken over time, Center Stage growing into itself. You know, it's definitely been a work in progress.
And I want to get an idea of how the process of changing has perhaps itself changed in the span of time that you all three have been at Center Stage. Has there been as much change going on there as ever? I mean, what can we say about the second half, shall we say, of the theater's life?
Well, in the way that we're getting to be more well-known. So many people did not know where we were located. The best description that we give is that we're above California Pizza Kitchen in the mall, you know. And then it's like, oh, yeah, you know, upstairs. So certainly our name has gotten bigger, and more people are understanding because we're grown in the amount of people that have used our venue. So that familiarity is getting to be a lot easier, and that's been to our benefit, absolutely.
I think in the first 10 years, there was more kind of experimentation on how this structure would work. The theater tried doing some productions itself, tried to be a producing, you know, arm, and then evolved over time to the idea that, you know what, let's figure out what we do really well, which is operate as a rental venue, and let's stick to that. And I think in the first 10 years, there were more projects and things initiated by the theater versus the second 10 years, which I think is a difference. Which I think part of that difference also is as we've become more well-known and more popular and gotten busier, you know, we to this point are one of the busiest, I think probably the busiest theater in town in terms of how far ahead we're booked and that sort of thing. So I would suspect there's probably been less change in the second 10 than the first 10. I think one of the things that, and you can speak to this, Vicky, as a designer, one of the things that has changed in the second 10 is an improvement in the quality of equipment in the theater.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I wanted to know as well, the technical changes in the theater. What have you seen go on there?
Well, the theater has been very successful in grant writing and fundraising to support evolution in technical equipment and technology, particularly in lighting and sound. Our sound system is has been used a number of times by the Santa Barbara International Film Festival and works extremely well. We've used that same sound system for bands and CD releases, and then we've used it for musical performances. So in terms of the evolution, we've really taken a facility that had basic lighting and sound equipment and moved it to a facility that has modern, state-of-the-art, energy-efficient, easy-to-use, reliable equipment for the lighting designer to use, the sound designer to use, and now in the last couple of years, projection and projection designers. And that has come about because of our professional staff and them maintaining their touch tone with what is out there and what is available, what designers expect in a space. And then particularly our administrative staff in terms of grant writing and fundraising to support that. And we have an idea of what is out there, what is available, what the costs of those things are, and then we've been successful in fundraising and with support from granting organizations to fund equipment in lighting, sound, and projection.
And in terms of evolution, let's not forget one of the most important things we've done in the last 4 years from an audience standpoint is about 4 years ago, we undertook a very large capital campaign to replace the seats in Center Stage.
Absolutely.
So for anyone who hasn't been to Center Stage in the last 4 years, let's be honest, we were kind of known for the torture chamber plastic chairs. We can all say it now. We've moved past them.
That bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty bad.
No. We they had audience members bringing their own pillows to sit on there. I mean, they already knew. And I'm seeing that less and less during the shows.
About 4 years ago, with a major gift from the Santa Barbara Foundation and a lot of community support, we raised $40,000 and replaced all of the seats. So that, from an audience standpoint, is most definitely one of the biggest transformations in the second 10 years. Because now we're very comfortable, very modern, cozy seating.
It sounds like, technically speaking, versatility is very important to maintain. But is that a sort of a sensibility you go for in the entire operation, just to keep it as versatile, as flexible as you can? I mean, is that in the forefront of your minds when you're thinking about what to do next for Center Stage?
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely. Yes. And efficiency. You know, we are very conscious of and aware of the fact that we operate as a not-for-profit and that we are here to be of service to the community, which means to be as affordable as possible. But that means you have to walk a very thin line in terms of your flexibility, because we have to be affordable, but we also have to be fiscally responsible. Because if we don't charge enough, then what we become is a space that either dies, and so therefore we're really not serving the community, or one where working there is so frustrating and it's, you know, everything is broken and, you know, the inventory. We've all worked in the black box theater where here's the inventory and what works works. There's the inventory and then there's the real inventory. And we really pride ourselves and try very hard to be a black box, but that works as effectively and efficiently as possible. And we do look for flexibility, and we do look to stay as sort of small and lean and mean and flexible as possible. One of the things we've done in the last couple of years to operate in the most cost-effective manner as possible is a couple of years ago, we formed a collaboration with another not-for-profit in town called Speaking of Stories. And we share staff, and Speaking of Stories is now housed at Center Stage. But my position as executive director, I was the executive director of Speaking of Stories. Center Stage was looking for a new executive director after a long-time person had left. And, you know, we looked at the two organizations and said, you know, these are small organizations, and by forming a collaboration, we are saving money for both organizations. We're getting much more effective staff usage. One of the challenges of small organizations in an executive director type position is part of the time you need somebody to be an executive director, part of the time you need them to stand in line at the bank and go to Staples. And so with the two organizations, what we've done is, you know, we use our time and our staff as efficiently as possible. But we are definitely about staying small and flexible. You don't, for those of you who have visited Center Stage, our offices are not luxurious.
They're functional.
They are very functional, but they're very definitely not a luxurious space.
Well, they work, and that's what's important.
That is absolutely, and that is our priority.
Multi-purpose.
And to give an idea of what Center Stage can accommodate, I suppose, when you're renting the place out, when you're booking it, is it all just a matter of what's technically possible in there and what the people putting it on can pay for, and then it's set? Or is there also an element of a certain type of production you want to have in the theater? I don't know if I'm necessarily making sense, but is it all a matter of the numbers and what can turn on and off and fit in there? Or is there more to it than that in terms of booking?
You know, in terms of booking, we very much take the position that we're a rental venue. So we don't make stylistic or quality decisions. We are a first-come, first-serve venue. Now, in terms of the kinds of things we like to encourage, we absolutely like to see things that are more cutting-edge, you know, new artists, new beginning. But in terms of what actually goes on stage, we feel it's our mission to be there to help people achieve their vision, not necessarily to tell them what their vision should be. And one of the things that I like to say to people, particularly young producers, is come in, tell us what you want to do, and Brad can help you figure out how to do it. Because a lot of times people think they need to do it in a certain way, which might not be possible in the space or might not be achievable for them financially. But a lot of times, if you'll tell us what you want to achieve, you know, my vision is, you know, all of the actors are upside down, so I want to hang them all from the ceiling. No, you can't hang them from the grid because it won't support their weight, and we don't want to kill anyone. That is one of our strict rules in terms of the quality of what goes on stage. We feel it's very important that we not hurt anyone.
Safety
is, yeah, that is the place that we will say, okay, no, you can't
safety
do that.
Safety first.
But you know, what we try to do is, you might not know how you can get there, we'll help you get there. But I think in terms of making any sort of comment or direction to the artistic quality, the artistic mission, we don't view that as our role. I mean, as board president, you can...
Oh, I don't think it's our role to be the adjudicator of what is art and what is not art.
Yeah.
Our role is to offer the community a venue that is flexible, that is well supported, that is accessible and affordable, and then just sit back and help guide and mentor the process as it goes forward. One of the examples that I use about Center Stage in terms of our expanded mission to inform and educate and help and guide, and I keep using the word mentor, but mentor the process, is, you know, we have producers that come in and say, well, I need this and that and this and that, and we want to hang people upside down. And what our professional staff and Brad Spaulding specifically as TD is very, very good at is trying to drill down to the essence of what the artists are trying to do and help them achieve their vision in an efficient, effective, artistic way. You know, one of the examples that I have used repeatedly is, you know, we have someone that comes in, I need a leather sofa, Victorian, and it needs to spin and turn and all of this. But the conversation is really about what does it need to do? Do you need this expensive leather sofa that sings and dances on its own, or do you simply need a place for two performers to sit side by side in an intimate feeling space? And Brad is very good about sort of teasing out and drilling down to the artistic essence of what our renters are trying to do and helping solve those problems.
You might say you bring some clarity to what people want to do?
Oh, yeah. That's a very good way to put it.
Jordana, were you going to say something?
I thought, okay. I'm just agreeing with Vicky.
Oh, okay. I don't want to leave anybody out here. So I will ask as well. You mentioned, Terry, that you want the venue to be a place for the cutting edge. And there's often an attitude people have in Santa Barbara that you say, well, there's cutting edge, but then there's cutting edge in Santa Barbara. So what are your thoughts on that sensibility? And I can tell you recognize what I'm talking about because you just started laughing right away. So what do you think about that attitude?
You know, we have occasionally had audience members who will express to us both pleasure and displeasure with what ends up on stage. Mm. And Jordana, I'm sure, probably experiences this most firsthand. But again, what we say to them is, we're here to provide a canvas for everybody to express their vision. And so in that case, that means everything that goes on that stage is not going to be everyone's cup of tea. But we feel very, very strongly about not editing and censoring what goes up on stage. You know, there are some companies, what we do try to do is if you are doing those really cutting edge, you know, if there are naked parts, which we do have occasionally,
yes,
dangling participles, as one has been known to say, you know, or if there's very strong language, very graphic things on. We do try to have signs outside and to warn audience people when they purchase tickets. But we won't say to, you know, a producer, I'm sorry, no, you can't use that language on stage. Or I'm sorry, you can't hang that person upside down and spread blood all over them and beat them for 15 minutes. As long as we can figure out a way to do it safely, more power to you. And when audience members object, then what we say to them is, you know, this is what our venue is about. And here's the producer. And if you'd like to share with them your feelings. But our desire is to serve all of the communities that make up Santa Barbara. And you're right. Different people have different views of cutting edge and different views of what art means. Excuse me. And we try really hard to be the canvas and not be the arbiter of what is and what isn't art and what is and what isn't quality. Because, you know, for some people, the little kids from Santa Barbara Dance Arts dancing for the first time is the perfect thing, and that's what it all should be. And for some people, Genesis West and, you know, an Albee play about somebody who has an affair with a goat is the perfect thing that is theater. And who am I to say, you know, which one?
Indeed, many different ideas of a perfection. And you mentioned that Jordana had some experiences with engaging with the community as far as their variety of reactions at center stage when they show up. What have you been your impressions as far as the sort of responses, the whole spectrum of responses you've gotten?
Well, the fact that the goat incident. Yes,
oh, that's a real incident.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a real show.
Yes, that's Sylvia. Edward Albert Beale. But that was where I had, where we had the notification on the door. And a couple had come up to me, excuse me, and had said, you know, if we find this objectionable, can we leave? And I said, absolutely. You know, we're not going to keep
gonna
you
say,
there.
Yeah, we're going to lock you in.
We're not going to lock you in. I'm at the door, and as soon as you're ready. And they made it through about half. And then they did end up leaving because it did upset them. But, you know, most of the time I will hear it, and I will I don't always pass it along. Because, again, it is – you're there of your own volition as an audience member. We're there to present the venue for the producers. So depending on how – objectionable it is, I might tell Terry so much so, and maybe not the producer, because it is freedom, and the audience, you know, has a right to be there and a right to leave, just as much as we have the right to present it. It's their choice, and you hope that the audience educates themselves before they come to the theater as to what is being done, and usually the advertising is all there and everything, and they get a whiff of it. But sometimes we get out-of-town people. You know, you just have to kind of, you know, play it by ear as each situation comes up and take it from there.
And Sylvia, or Who is the Goat, done by Genesis West, was a fabulous, fabulous production.
Oh, yeah. It was sold out for most of the performances.
Yeah. And it was very, very funny.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
And I have to say, Sylvia with Genesis West, one of the tamer shows Genesis West has done.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yes.
They do some really cool, interesting stuff.
So yeah. They're the ones, if you're going to get both the ecstatic reactions and the sort of, can I leave? You know, that's going to be Genesis West.
Probably so, yeah.
That's true.
And I think Maury Lord, who runs Genesis West, would love that description.
Oh, well, feel free to pass that on to him. Now, as far as, what difference does it make being the black box, essentially, in a town rather than being one of the five on this city block, and there's five more the next city block over. Does that make a difference as far as, you know, I mean, context, I guess, is the issue, as far as what you can and can't do, what freedom that allows you?
I think it makes us really busy.
Yes.
You know, we spend a great deal of time trying to help people find time to be in the space. Mm. For example, today, the only weekends from now through the end of the year that we don't have something booked in the theater and already contracted are Thanksgiving weekend and Christmas weekend.
Yikes.
We have bookings in the theater right now through June of next year. Mm. I had somebody who called me yesterday about openings, and either with something that's on hold or contracted from January through June of next year, there's about 3 weeks.
Oh, I see.
That don't already have a hold. So I think the single biggest impact it has on us, being the only sort of 100, you know, we're a 130-seat theater, is we're in high demand. Is we have lots of bookings and lots of people that want to use us. I don't know that it impacts what we can do so much as it does impact it. It means that we need to be incredibly accessible, and we need to be really, really open to everybody that comes through the door. And, you know, as we talked about before, I think one of the things that we pride ourselves on at the theater, and I feel like all of the staff does, is if we have a specialty in town, our specialty is those people who've never done this before, you know, is being patient with and taking joy in working with those people who have never done it before. You know, I'm also very proud of my staff that they are completely professional and completely technically trained, that when you have a professional company like Lit Moon come in, we absolutely know how to do that, and we're at the top of our game. But whereas some people might be frustrated by, you know, the person who comes in and has no clue.
Right.
We really pride ourselves on, that's where I think we shine the most, in let us help you, let us guide you, let us teach you how to do this. And I think by being the only game in town, that's even more important, because it's not like we can divide up. In some places where you have more sort of converted spaces and that kind of thing, you've got, oh, this becomes the dance space, and that's kind of the small black box music space in town. And, you know, that's the really sort of cutting edge, NoHo, you know, space. For us, we have to be able to know what dancers need, know what a music play, you know, group needs, know what a theater, and know what the challenges are for doing, you know, Little Shop of Horrors with six-year-olds, and what that means, and what how we need to help people produce that, and what that audience is like to deal with when it's parents and grandma coming to see, versus you know, a dance piece and what those people are going to need, or a producer who is presenting something that's very cutting edge and very out there, like Genesis West, and how do we support him, and how do we make sure that we aren't educating the audience, you know, so people aren't shocked and surprised. Right. So I think by being the only game in town of our size, it means we have to be very flexible, and we have to really know our game with all those different areas.
And I think, too, one of our strengths is that we treat everybody the same. Whether you're a new producer coming on or somebody that's been with us for 10 years, you're still going to get the quality of our know-how and knowledge, no matter who you are. It's that stays consistent. And because of that, that's why we have a lot of return people. They like us. You know, and they want to work with us. They like how we present it, help them out to make sure that they do it, and they're there year in and year out. That's been a growth and now a staple.
Yeah.
From when I started, where we would have different people all the time. Now we have staples that come in every year because they like what we do. And then we have new people because word of mouth gets around, that we treat people very well. And that's a strength.
And Center Stage is, we don't negotiate contracts. Everybody gets the same contract. We have a for-profit rate and we have a not-for-profit rate. But there are no deals. There are no special, you know, and I think you're right. You know, everybody that comes in gets the same pricing, the same treatment. There aren't, you know, special rules for certain groups. And I think you're right. Everybody knows they're going to get the same even shake at Center Stage.
And finally, I want to get an idea as well of what the what's going on for this 20th anniversary of Center Stage Theater. What is the nature of the celebration or the pursuits you're launching to start this new era?
Well, the big thing that we're doing first to kick off is this Saturday night, the 21st, we are doing a big party and performance. And at 7 o'clock, we'll have a reception out on the patio with food and drink donated by local purveyors, California Pizza Kitchen and Pascucci's and Chipotle, and R&D Vodka is setting up a martini bar. So there'll be a big party out on the patio, and then a very unique one-night-only performance that's been put together by Rod Latham and Maggie Meixel and Nancy Newfer and Devin Scott, which is going to be sort of a spoof and celebration of everything that has made up Center Stage. There are going to be some silly awards presented, although I have promised everyone no awards will be accepted. So there are no acceptance speeches. Nobody gets to accept their award. It's only to poke fun. There are some musical numbers. They've taken some Stephen Sondheim songs and written original lyrics to celebrate Center Stage.
Oh, wow.
We even have a dance number, an adaptation of The Sharks and the Jets from West Side Story with dancers from Santa Barbara Dance Arts. And it's just going to be a whole lot of fun and a very silly celebration. Tickets are $50. There are still some available, though they're going very quickly. You can call 963-0408 to get your ticket, or go to our website, which is centerstagetheater.org. And this is a fundraising night. It is the kickoff of our 20 for 20 campaign, as I talked about before, wherein we're trying to, separate from our general operating fundraising we do every year, we're trying to raise a special $20,000 in celebration of our 20th anniversary, and that money will be used to invest in the theater's future, invest in hopefully some new technology like the seating platforms, so that we can be even more flexible and even more of service to our renters for our second 20 years. But Saturday night should be a whole lot of fun. And what we've been saying to people is, if you have been part of the first 20 years as an audience member, on stage, as a performer, you got to be there Saturday night to help us celebrate the beginning of the second 20.
I've been talking to three of the people who have made the Center Stage Theater what it is today on its 20th anniversary, which the celebration, as you've heard, is coming up for that. And there's going to be a cover story in The Independent by Charles Donnellan, an oral history of the theater, all kinds of good stuff. Jordana, Terry, Vicky, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This has been Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9 FM. And we're going to take you out with another cut wrangled by Ali Cummingore, our Poodle Radio music producer. This cut is called All Y'all from Gringo Starr. They're playing Muddy Waters with Howlin' Woods on Saturday, August 21st. And I do hope to see you, hear you, whatever, or you'll hear me here on the radio next Tuesday. At 8 o'clock, as always, on Poodle Radio.